Appreciate each one that's here this morning. Good morning to each one. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, 27th verse. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this a judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And as it is appointed unto man once to die.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question this morning. How many people do you know that's never died? Anybody got? Because everyone you've known that's got up to the time, young, middle, or old, they've either died, been killed, or one thing or another, and they have gone out into eternity to face God. So the bottom line is this morning, you will die. And as it is appointed unto man once to die.
Yeah.
Now, folks, we've got appointments that we have to take care of through life. I just had a dental appointment on Tuesday. But people have all kind of appointments with different people and so forth. And what do? You try to do your best to keep that appointment. But sometimes you can't make it. This one you will keep. This is not one that you're going to be able to say, well, Lord, no, we don't want to do that right now. Because the Lord is going to call you. He's going to call you out into eternity. You're going to meet him face to face and deal with him. No matter where you stand with him, you're going to deal with God. You will die someday. You will die someday. So, Lord, help us today that the most important appointment that you and I are going to have is going to be this one. And this is the one that we absolutely must be ready for. And when the call comes, you can say, Lord, thy will be done.
Yes.
Oh, today, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be ready. Let's go to Psalms 90 and 10. Psalms 90 and 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now today, 70 years, 80 and 10, 70 years. I could be wrong, but as I look around this crowd, there's several of us in here past 70 years. The old statement is, we're living on borrowed time. And that's basically, in a sense, quite true. I'm living on borrowed time. If you're 71, 2, 3, 4, whatever, you're living on borrowed time too.
Lord have mercy.
And our bodies begin to change. I'm not what I used to be 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. I have changed. Things are not like they used to be. But the bottom line is, I want to be ready for this appointment. I want to meet him in peace. I want to have exactly what he wants me to have. And that's the no-soul salvation that was sung about a while ago. Lord, folks, there is a no-soul salvation. People say, well, no, there's not. Yes, there is. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has washed you from your sins, raised you from a dead state of sin, set your foot on a solid rock, and established your going, and done things for you that nobody else could do, praise God. I've known it for years and years and years, over 50 years now. I knew it when he gave it to me, and I knew it as I went along. I've made mistakes. I've had to ask forgiveness, but the bottom line is, he smiles down. He said, come unto me, child, and I will bless you.
Yes.
Let's go to Job 30:23. It said, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though the cry in his destruction. So I know that thou will bring me to death. I know that. Do we know that this morning?
Yes.
Are we weighing that on our mind? That's the reason the Lord wants a message like this preached occasionally, to stir our pure minds up by way of remembrance, yes, to help us to know that, folks, you could die. You can go out into eternity at any time.
Yes.
You can step out there. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I don't want to stay up here too long this morning, but I want us to get some ideas that there is a appointment that we're going to make one of these days. 8:8 of Ecclesiastes. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen. Now listen to these scriptures. And applied my heart into every work that is done under the sun, there is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried. Now this is one of the, what do I want to get? This is a scripture that stirs me. Maybe that's the best way to put it. And I saw the big wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done, this also is vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, and that there be just men unto whom it happened, according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth, according to the work of the righteous. I said, this also is vanity. Now he said here, the 8th verse, there's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. When it gets time to die, you're going to die. Amen.
Yes.
One of the most stirring things, I guess, that ever happened to me was my mama got real sick with the flu. This has been back in the, I started in business in, 73? So this was in 1974, 75. She got down with the flu, and she was getting worse and worse. And I was at my station, running my station one day, and I got a call, and she begging me to come home. She said, I'm dying. And I got there to the house. Now, the Lord had been dealing with her, working with her, and she had turned it down over and over. And now then she got to a place that I come in there, and it was so pitiful because my mother was laying on that bed and she said, Carl, life is walking away from me and I can't stop it. Carl, life is walking away. I need you to pray, son. I need you to pray. Now, folks, I've done a lot of praying in my life. I don't know if I prayed any harder than I did for her. I'll tell you, I was begging God to have mercy. And she kept saying, life is walking away from me. That's what this scripture's talking about. Listen, folks, when it's time to die, you're not going to be able to stop death. You're not going to be able to close the door. You're not going to be able to tie it with a rope. You're not going to be able to do anything that's going to stop death. You will die. Some people die instantly. They're killed in a car wreck. They're shot with a gun. What about the man that was up there in New York, I believe? He was a big wig with United Health, and a man was behind him. Now, to me, you talk about dirty. This is dirty. He shot him in the back and killed him in cold blood right there on the sidewalk. Listen, that's mean. That man never had a chance. Listen, folks, today, when Jesus calls your number, so to speak, he said, come unto me. He is going to pull you, and you're going to step out in eternity, and there's no way you can stop it.
Yes.
The Lord had mercy on my mama, and things turned around, and she lived for a number of years after that. And I appreciate his goodness. But that stirred me up when she said, son, I can't stop life. It's walking away. It's walking away, Carl. Do you understand? It's leaving me. And I'm begging and crying and pleading with everything I had. And the Lord turned at that time. He will turn things sometimes. But there is also a time, an absolute time, where you are going to be called out into eternity and you can't stop it. I moved back to Shawnee in 2004. This was in 2006, if I remember right. My mother had been in a nursing home for 3 years. And my sister-in-law, Craig's wife, worked at this nursing home. My mother got excellent care. She was well taken care of. Everything was going along fine. But she hadn't eaten much at all from about before Thanksgiving, and this was up into January. So Debbie was down there with her this particular morning for a little while, and one of the aides, nurses, whatever you want to call them, assistants, they come in and said, "Mrs. Schaefer, would you like to go have something to eat?" "Yeah." So she got in the wheelchair. The woman helped her get in the wheelchair. Debbie walked out, walked down the hall, and stood at the corner. And they brought Mama down and turned left and went into the dining area. This is what they said my mama did. They said she looked at everyone in there and smiled at them real big. After she looked them all over, and I don't know how many people that was, after she looked them all over, she dropped dead, just like that. She just literally fell down on the table. My sister-in-law left. The company called her and said, "Deb, I think you need to come back. Your mother-in-law has just died." It caught us all by surprise, in a sense. There's a lot of surprises in death that has happened down through the years. Horrible surprises that people have, the Lord has just called them out instantly, and they've gone out into eternity. How many do you know that that's happened to? He said, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There's no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Now then, the next scripture in this group right here that's very touching to me is the 10th verse. "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Folks, there is people that go to church and go to church and go to church, but never change their lives by the blood of Christ. They do it over and over. And this is saying here, he said, "I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy." He said, I watched this. "This also is vanity." Listen, folks, we can go to church all we want to. You can hear the singing. You can hear the preaching. But if you walk out that door unsaved, it is total vanity to you. It doesn't amount to a thing when you get down to death. And Jesus says it's time to come out into eternity. You're not going to be able to stop it. And you're going to go to the place of the lost. Vanity. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Help us to get down and remember we will die. Young people die. Old people die. Yes. Middle-aged people die. Babies die. One of the youngest funerals, about that I've ever attended, Pat, was when Uncle Floyd and Aunt Mildred's baby died. What, about 2 years old, I believe. It was born, I believe, with heart problems. And it never was right. And finally, it died and went out. Went to be with Jesus. Went out into eternity, into heaven. Stepped out there. That to me was a very painful time for that family. And I was pretty young at that time, but I still remember it. Oh, tonight, babies die. You will die. You may die at 10. You may die at 20. You may die at 30, 40, 50, 60. You may die at 45, 55, 65, 75, 47, 46, 45. You can die at any age. There is no set in this thing. It is appointed unto man once to die.
Yes.
Appointed. So that appointment is going to come. Now then, I have been begging God to heal these people that are so sick among us, that every one of them are leaders in the church of God. Maybe not ministers. We have one or two that's married to a minister. But the bottom line is, I've been begging. But when it gets right down to it, I said, Lord, I know you have an appointment for them. I know you have an appointment. If that appointment is for now, Lord, thy will be done. But Lord, I'm begging for mercy. I've seen him touch people and heal them. I've seen him do wonderful things in my years of living for God. But folks, there is still an appointment that you and I are going to meet one day. We can't change it. It's up to him. He calls the time and the place. People die at home. They die in car wreck. They die in swimming accident. They die by gunfire. There was a big concert out in the Las Vegas area. A man went up into a hotel room, had guns. He went up there. He shot out windows and he started firing, and he killed a number of people in that crowd. Listen, folks, today, the wise thing to do is live close to God and leave that stuff alone. It's getting to be too frequent that people go out there and just shoot people, kill them.
Lord, yeah.
Oh, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this, the judgment. All right, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. We desire your prayers this morning.
Lord,
10th chapter, 27th verse. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? What's that Bible verse meaning? There is people that get into a avenue of sin, a life of sin, drinking, smoking, drugging. They can shorten their own lives.
That's so.
They can shorten those lives. That's the reason the Lord wants us to get saved and live for him. More than likely, our life would be longer that way than it would be if we shortened our lives. There had been people that had followed people to the grave. That person should not be, in a sense of the word, dead at that age. But they lived a life of drunkenness. They lived a life of drugs. They lived a life of smoking, maybe mixed all three of them around and everything. Folks, that stuff is hard on the body. And God tries to call people, come unto me. Stop that. Don't do it. Don't go there. Please, I don't want you living that kind of life. But they do it. And then they get down. And they begin to have problems. And then they begin to wish they had never done that. But it does happen. It does happen. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord, our fearing him, our living for him, our giving ourselves to him,
yes,
having the way of the Lord, living a godly, sincere life before God, that will prolong or can prolong our days. The Lord wants us to have all the time that we can have till we meet our appointment.
Yes.
But there's people that make their own appointment and it's years earlier than what it should be. Psalms 55 here. Psalms 55 and 23. 55 and 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Does that happen? Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It does. They live that life. They do those things. They commit those sins. And they come to a place where the Lord just takes them right on out into eternity. Well, really, they kill them own selves in a sense. Kill them own selves. Let's go to Job now. Let's go to Job 14 and 7. 14 and 7 here. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Through the root thereof, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of the water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the coast, and where is he? As waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and driveth up, so men lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave,
yes.
That thou wouldest keep me secret until the wrath be past,
yes.
That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait,
yes.
Till my change come. Now he said, but the man dieth and wastes away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?
Have mercy.
You will die. You don't know how you're going to die. But the bottom line is, you're going to step out into eternity. Are you ready to go to heaven? Or will you go to hell when you die?
Lord.
That's the question. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to go? Not last fall, but the fall before, I nearly accidentally killed myself. I had bursitis in this arm and shoulder. And Molly's sister told me, well, Molly, turmeric is good for that. It's an anti-inflammatory, and it's good for it. Molly said, I have some. Well, good. Give them to Carl. Let him take them. Well, they were out of date, but I thought since it was a spice, it wouldn't hurt to be out of date. And I took some, and I took too many. 1,000 milligram capsules. So I started having things happen on my body. I broke out in a rash basically from about here all the way down the bottom of my feet. I had what do you want to call it? In other words, when I went to eat, food didn't taste right. Now, Molly's a good cook, but I tried to eat something that she cooked quite a bit for us, and I just couldn't hardly choke it down. I thought, what's wrong with me? So finally, I called my dear pastor, and I told him what the deal was, and he said, well, have you got that bottle? He said, I want some pictures of that bottle, and I'll see what I can find out. Well, he has a connection somehow, and he went to them or called them and talked to them and explained everything, and that person told him, said if he would have taken one more pill, he would have been out and you would have been having a funeral this week. One more. One more. And Brother Ed was so stunned, I guess he was about speechless. He thought we would have been buried, Brother Carl. Yes, but it would have been an accident. I didn't do it intentionally.
Lord, yeah.
And of course, last fall, we were in the wreck. Left here at 9 o'clock, headed to Sister Gertrude's house up in Kansas City. We were about 45 minutes away. She had lunch prepared. We was getting all ready to get there and see her place and do things in Kansas City. And I fell out. Totally asleep. Well, I think I blacked out. Molly was on, she was in the pasture. I was here, Paige was behind me. And we was headed to an overpass. And she was looking in the mirror on the visor, and she wasn't paying attention to me. She wasn't really paying attention to anything but Molly. And all of a sudden, she felt the car start moving to the right. And she looked up, said, Carl, we was headed to the end of that guardrail at 75 miles an hour, the speed limit with the cruise on. We was setting, or I was setting, she said, I was looking at it and thinking, I'm going to die.
Lord,
but she said, all of a sudden, said the car moved to the right. We shot down that guardrail on our left, and then we were headed to the big pillars that help hold that overpass up. And she said, we were going to hit them dead on. I thought we would scrape them, just kind of scrape them on the left side and kill me and probably Paige. She might have lived. She said, no, sir. We were headed dead for them.
Lord, yeah.
She said, again, the car moved to the right. We shot out from under there. And what caused us to flip end over end like this, I have no idea. She said we flipped once, and she feels like we flipped two total times and landed on the roof. Now, we could have been killed that day.
Lord,
Molly had the most injuries out of the deal. I had second most, and Paige come out of it just pretty easy and well. But the bottom line was our time was just about ended right there.
Lord, mercy.
Then I take that turmeric a year off just a year before it. Well, it was in November. This was in September, last September. The bottom line is we don't know how we're going to die, folks. We don't know. You can cross a street and get hit by a car by accident and get killed. There are so many things that can take people out into eternity that they were not planning to die that day. They get up, they make their plans, they kiss their wife bye, their husband bye, and they go off to work and they get killed on the way. Or they get out in the parking lot and a man pulls a gun and shoots them dead. Or maybe walks up the side of the car and shoots them dead and robs them. There are so many ways that you and I can die.
Yes.
He said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, we're going to deal with it one day. But the main thing is that appointed time, are we ready for that appointed time? Oh, Lord, help us to be ready. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men not slackness, but is long suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now he said here, in the 11th verse, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of persons are we this morning? What manner of persons are we interested in being out in the future? There is people out there that I'm going to get saved one day. I'm going to live for God. Oh, preacher, I got that in mind. I'm going to do it. Let me tell you the saddest situation I've ever dealt with in my ministry. That was in South Carolina. This was a preacher's son, and he had had an aneurysm in his brain that grew real slow. It grew for a number of years, and after I got down there in the summer of 1998, in January of 1999, it was put in a prayer request that Jimmy needed prayer. He was in the hospital, an aneurysm, and he was in trouble. Jimmy wasn't saved. Well, let's back up a little bit. They had a tent meeting down there, I believe, with Brother Kimball and Brother Sammons, maybe a year or two before that. And the Lord was working. They were both under conviction. They were trembling and so forth. And they went out to their car. And they got in, and one of the sisters followed them and literally begged them and cried, will you not get saved tonight? Let's do it. Well, we're living in adultery. We're not married. We're shacking up together. She said, let's not worry about that right now. Let's go to the altar and get saved, then get married. They wouldn't do it. And then what I'm saying here started. This man had an operation on my birthday, February 1st of 1999. The doctor come in and said what he took out of that man's brain was as big as his fist. And Jimmy come out of the operation all right, it appeared. But he had three more operations to follow that. Every operation caused him to be more not perfect. Or I wouldn't say right per se. His mental was, but anyway, everything started going wrong with him, with his wife, with his property. He lost everything he had and ended up in a nursing home sometime. And where did I visit him? In the nursing home. I begged him. I pled with him. Jimmy, let's get saved. Those children loved their dad. They had high respect. Brother O'Neill, or Uncle O'Neill, as I can call him, he had the admiration of the people in that area very highly. But yet Jimmy put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off for about 20 years. And then things started crumbling around him. I worked with him. Listen, folks, these things tear preachers up. When you're doing everything you can do to get a man or a woman to repent and they just keep pushing it off. Well, sometime down the line. But yet they're sitting in a place that they could die instantly. Like I said, he lost his wife, he lost his home, he lost his business, he lost everything. But his son still loved him. I had to appreciate Rocky. Rocky still loved Jimmy. All right, I left there in 04 and moved back to Oklahoma. I don't remember what year it was, but he started having some other problems. They took him to the hospital. They checked him out, and they checked him out, and they checked him out, and they said, well, I don't find anything wrong with Jimmy. Well, something's wrong. He's a sick man. I know, but we can't find nothing. Now, listen, folks, doctors can do some things. God can do all things. God knows from the very beginning if you got something wrong with you, he knew about it before you had it.
Yes.
And so Jimmy was there. They couldn't find it. 2 weeks before he died, they said he's got cancer and it's going to kill him. And it did. I think in 2 weeks exactly. It just absolutely stunned the family. Just, I talked to him. I'm close to this family, especially the sisters in the family. I'm close to them. They called me for prayer. Now I'm married to Molly. They just call her most of the time. But they called me, Carl, pray. My husband's dead of a heart attack. I found my husband dead at home. I need prayer. I'm in trouble. Jimmy's gold. But the one thing that I have a blessing, I understood he did get saved before he died.
Thank the Lord.
And that was the good point. But folks, people waste their lives because they don't get saved and live a righteous, godly life for God. They waste their lives a lot of time down, and they get down to the end and they ain't got anything. He didn't have nothing left. Oh, Lord, help us. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We're facing death. We're facing the judgment. We're going to deal with that one day. And what kind of life are we living right now?
Lord.
Let's go to Revelation 14:13. We'll begin to wrap it up by the help of the Lord. 14 and 13 of Revelation. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Write, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, and their labors and their works. Oh, I've been involved. I've been in numbers and numbers of funerals in the last 50-something years. And you go to that funeral. Well, Sister Vicki, I knew Sister Vicki. I knew Sister Janine. I've known her before the family ever met the saints. I worked with those children, so to speak. They come over the saints. And she would travel with my sisters and I and go to places in the gospel work. It'd be no problem to preach her funeral. It would be so beautiful. Sister Vicki Wilson, the same way. My daughter said that it was a very nice service Said it wasn't long, Dad, but it was a very nice service. Well, sure. Brother Dan had worked with her for several years. He knew her life. Now you got Sister Kincaid, Sister Leslie. She was a jewel too. She was so good to the three of us. She was good to the congregation and so forth. There's another be so easy. Listen, folks, today, if you die and you're in that casket, how will it be for the preacher to preach your funeral? Will he be able to say this man lived for God or this woman lived for God for several years? Or will he have to struggle knowing you did, as far as he knew, you had no profession at all? You went out into eternity lost. Lord. Oh, today, Lord, help us to have a good experience of salvation that not only the congregation knows, but the world around you know what you are, who you are. All right, two more scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs again. Proverbs 14 and 32 this time. The wicked is driven away in his righteous in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death.
Yes.
Righteous have hope. Now, we heard a wonderful message in the first part of this meeting about hope. And the reason the righteous have hope is because of their belief in Christ and the resurrection. And it's all set in place, and they've accepted that, they've repented, they've done everything they need to do, and God has saved them, redeemed them, washed them, and blessed them.
Yes.
And then we get down to the end, and they're ready to go. They're ready to step out into eternity. Oh, those funerals are easy to preach. They're so easy to preach. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Help us to be of a life. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Hope there's going to be a resurrection because he's taken part in the first resurrection. All right, last scripture. Let's go to Numbers 23 and 10. And we'll be finished here in a few minutes. Numbers 23 and 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. This man wanted to die the death of the righteous.
Yes.
When you've got that kind of mindset, you're going to do everything you can do to have that salvation at the end of life, to see the Lord smile. When you step out and meet him face to face. All right, let me give you a deal. I know a sister that went to heaven. She died from the flu, and she went to heaven. And she got there, and an angel met her, and he said, follow me. And so she followed him, and he led her to the house, her mansion. Not a house, but her mansion. Opened the door, and she said, Carl, I got to look in. Said it was the most beautiful, beautiful building I'd ever seen. So she said, I want to see the king. Does the king live here? Yes, ma'am, he does. Can I see him? Yes, ma'am, you can. Said, follow me. So they went over and there was a table set like this with lots of food on it. There were people standing around and waiting. And she said she waited and she was kind of getting a little impatient. She wanted to see the king. That's the reason she was there. Said he come walking up. She knew who he was. And he looked at her and she looked at him and their eyes locked and he smiled at her. And she said, I knew. We want that smile, folks.
Yeah.
We want that look of your mind. We want that the very spirit of Christ saying your mind. And as it is appointed unto man wants to die.
Yes.
There is some people that get almost killed and live a little bit longer. Maybe get very badly sick, but beat that and live a little bit longer. But one day you're going to meet your appointment and you're going to step out into eternity. Are you ready to meet God or are you not ready to meet God? Let's stand and have a number. I appreciate your time, attention. I'm thankful to be here in this meeting this morning.